He who began a good work in you. Over 160 years ago, God began a good work here at Mount Hermon Baptist Church. What a legacy. Your website says it well. Mount Hermon has been a Christian witness in Western Chesterfield County since 1835. Think about that. Think about the lives changed because of this place. The faith formed through the amazing Sunday school teachers, through the amazing pastors and associate pastors, through the people who led VBS. Think about the legacy that this church has in this community. Legacy. We hear a lot about that word. What do you think of when you hear the word legacy? For many of us, it's a loaded word for sure. Now, if you're like me, you want to leave a good legacy, right? I know I want to leave a good legacy in terms of my family, of my work, of my role in my local church. We all want to leave a mark, a lasting change in the things that we invest in. Most of the time, building a legacy is hard, but fun work. When we get to build something from the ground up, pouring in our sweat and tears, our time and effort, all so that we can leave something of value for those who come behind us. It's hard work, but man, it is so rewarding. But maintaining a legacy, that's a lot more complicated. How many of you have ever felt like you've been given a legacy to maintain? How did that make you feel? Some of you in this room were handed perhaps a family legacy and told, don't mess it up. Maintaining a legacy is a lot of responsibility. As we think about legacy, I'm reminded of two groups of people in Scripture who really get a bad rap, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Do those two groups ring a bell to you? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. These religious folks were given a legacy to protect. For hundreds of years, these groups were the gateway between the people and God, making sure that the Jewish people were doing the right thing, that they were on the right path, that they were following the complicated code of the Old Testament to appease the God of Israel. They were in charge of making sure the temple, the very place that God resided, was taken care of and honored in the way that was listed in very complicated codes in the Old Testament books. For them and those living in the culture, the Pharisees and Sadducees were doing sacred work. Then enters Jesus, the game changer of all game changers. The one sent to bring a new understanding of God to his people. A person sent to reframe God's work in the midst of humanity. The one to come and challenge the way that these religious folks did things. The one to bring change. And who doesn't like change, right? Now, perspective matters here. From our seats 2,000 years later, we have a clear picture of what Jesus was up to. But in that moment, those religious leaders had every reason to believe that they were right and that the legacy passed down to them was under attack by this man named Jesus. And they were put squarely in charge of protecting their legacy, the legacy of their faith, against this outside agitator. And man, were their defenses up. As we sit here in February of 2022, whether we like it or not, if we're honest, we can see a little bit of ourselves in the Pharisees and Sadducees. You all have been given the keys to the kingdom. Think about it. This church has been doing amazing ministry in the community for decades. Buildings built, people baptized, life-changing ministries done in the community. Lives changed, and that is absolutely something to celebrate. And now it's your turn, your time, to continue the legacy of being faithful servants here in Chesterfield County. Now imagine for a moment. What happens when the winds of the Spirit begin to blow and God calls this congregation in this moment, in this time, to something really different than you've ever done in the past? What if God calls this church to something that is not in your playbook, not in your long-term plan, not in your comfort zone? What if God calls you to something that is so radical, it would, in some people's minds, change the legacy that you've been called to protect? That is Pharisee and Sadducee work. In my work, one of the most common questions congregations ask is, how do we, as a community of faith, follow the call of God together? Now, most of us are really good at seeking out God's will for our own lives, but how do we seek out where God is calling us as a community of faith? How do we move together as one forward into the communities, living out faithfully the call that God has for our church? How do we together walk the tightrope of honoring our legacy while being faithful to a new call of God? For the next few minutes, I want to examine a story of Jesus that really speaks to me when it comes to answering these hard questions about community discernment. I would welcome you to turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 14. Mark chapter 9. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" Someone with the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so." Jesus answered them, "You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me." And they brought him the boy. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you're able to do anything, have pity on us and help." And Jesus said to him, "If you are able, all these things can be done for one who believes." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here we have the story of Jesus and his three disciples coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. When they immediately come to Jesus, they immediately come to the disciples arguing with religious folks, most likely the Sadducees and Pharisees. As Jesus begins to hear the arguments, he turns and he hears the cries of a distressed father who has a sick son. There are three things in this passage I want to suggest that we hear that help us to consider how to follow God's call together as a community of faith. The first thing is as a community of faith, you will face challenges. Can you imagine being Peter, James, or John? They had just come down from the mountain after seeing Jesus literally transform in front of their eyes. What an amazing mountaintop experience. As they come down, the first thing that they see is their friends arguing with religious scholars with a crowd of people watching. Can you imagine how disappointed they must have been? But it's a great metaphor for church work, right? We come into this place and we have an amazing worship experience. We experience God in a new way. We have an awesome missions moment or hear amazing news from missionaries we support from around the world. And we go out all excited and go to the world that it can easily take all the air out of our joy. Have you ever felt that way? You go from the joy of God to the misery of the world. When you begin the process of discerning where God is leading you, you will have some profound moments of joy. When we together seek out God's will, I hope that you find excitement, that you find that joy, and that you find inspiration in seeking out God's vision, God's big and bold vision for this place. But hear me say that when God gives your church a big vision, don't expect the people outside the walls of this church to get it. You want to do what? You don't have enough money for that. You don't have enough people for that. That will never work. Man, you'll get so excited only to walk out into the world and be told everything that is wrong with your plan. Like the disciples coming down the mountain with Jesus, you will get a dose of how the real world works. However, when those moments come, when those voices speak out, remember, God didn't show them the vision that God showed you. While we always look outside for perspectives and hear outside voices, we must trust that God is going to help lead us and equip us into the places that God is calling us to go. Even when it seems impossible, God always makes a way. The second thing is, as a community of faith, we have to learn to drown out the noise around us to hear those who are hurting in our community. Here's the question that I think every church is facing. Man, this pandemic's been hard, right? And it's turned the volume of the world up around 100 times. The arguing, the misinformation, the finger pointing. And unfortunately, some of that has made it into our churches. As we discern together, there will be a lot of obstacles that get in our way. Now, I don't know if you can imagine this, but there might be a chance that not everyone in the room might agree with one another. Crazy, right? But I've seen it so many times in congregations. People begin to disagree most often about really small things, and this leads to bigger arguments. And in the end, we decide that to keep the peace, we should just keep the status quo. Let's just wait to make any changes. Let's not ruffle any feathers. Because many times we choose to keep the peace rather than move forward into God's call. One of the most false statements that I think I hear from churches is that the safest move is to stay where we are. Let me say that again. The safest move is to stay where we are. In our story, Jesus had some choices to make. To keep the peace, to save face with the crowd, Jesus could have simply told his disciples to be quiet and leave. They were not going to change the minds of the religious zealots. Let's take the easy road and go home. Or he could have joined the discussion and showed these religious people who was really the smartest among them. These Pharisees and Sadducees, man, they would have had no chance. He could have done either of these and made a huge impression. Yet in the midst of the chaos, what did Jesus do? Jesus heard the voice of the one who was hurting. A father with a sick kid. And not only did he hear him, he took time to get to know the situation. How long has it been this way? Jesus cared more about the needs of his neighbors than he did the arguments of religious people. His main concern wasn't to keep the peace. It wasn't to take the easy way out. It wasn't to win an argument. It wasn't to show the Pharisees and Sadducees who was in charge. Jesus' mission was to help those who are hurting. If that's not the call of the church, I don't know what is. Who are your neighbors? Have you taken the time to hear their cries? Have you taken time to ask, how long has it been this way? It is so easy for churches to look inward. It is so easy for us to find places to disagree and to retreat in the name of peace. Or even worse, to argue about things of little to no consequence as people outside the walls cry for help. And we're too worried about the inside of our church to hear their cries. But as we learn to discern together, let's not let these disagreements, let us not let this outside noise stop us from pursuing God's call for the church. Finally, as a community of faith, we cannot hold on so tightly to the legacy of what we've been given that we miss where Jesus is calling us to go. The Pharisees and Sadducees and the disciples were there arguing. I'm sure they were arguing over something that they thought was important, something that they were passionate about. For these religious groups, their legacy was being threatened, and they had to maintain it. So how do we live in the tension of holding true to the legacy of the past without holding on so tightly that we cannot see the new movement of God happening around us? How do you walk the tightrope between keeping what was and moving toward what might be? I think this is the most important question that faces the church right now. The past is important. Living up to the legacy that left by the founding members of this church is sacred work. But we cannot hold on to the good old days so tightly that we miss the new work that God is calling us to do. I want to tell you a story about my home church. About 15 years ago, Tabernacle Baptist Church, which is downtown Richmond, was really struggling. The church had existed for almost 200 years and at one time was lauded at having the largest Sunday school attendance on the Eastern Seaboard. And man, they'll tell you to this day about it. They love that about themselves. This church has a sanctuary that can seat almost 1,000 people, and there's a huge education building with tons of rooms. This church built a mighty legacy in downtown Richmond. Fast forward to 2010. The congregation was struggling. I mean 10 to 12 people in Sunday worship struggling. The community had radically changed, and most of their faithful members had moved out to the suburbs and found new places to worship. What remained was an older congregation who loved their church and wanted to reach out to their community. But their energy was drained, and the talks of how do we close with grace had begun. In a last-minute Hail Mary, the church hired a new young pastor and to bring energy and hopefully young families. For the first few years, nothing really changed, and the hope that came with the new pastor started to fade. When suddenly the winds of the Spirit began to blow. One Sunday, for seemingly no reason at all, a refugee Burmese family showed up for worship. Now, this was not in the playbook. This was not part of the long-term plan. What this church was looking for was the next big program to start or for a church specialist to come in with a master formula to save the day. But it was this family, these refugees, that came in and literally saved this church. Now, this Burmese family did not speak English, and no one at Tabernacle spoke Burmese. But week after week, this family showed up and began to bring their friends. Before the congregation knew it, half the people in the space on Sunday morning were refugees. God was doing something new. But there were some in the congregation that were holding on to the glory of the past. Some of the church immediately embraced this new mission while others kept praying for the return of the 1980s. This church was at a clear moment of decision. Do we hold on to the success of the past, of the legacy that we were given, the tried and true game plan? Or man, do we step out on faith and see what God is calling us to do? Looking back, this congregation will tell you to this day that this Burmese Family Saved Tabernacle Baptist Church. More importantly, they'll tell you that this family pushed them to be a different congregation, looking at their call in a new way and sending them into the community in ways this church would never imagine. If we are willing to begin to seek God together, God will show us something new. This is both exciting and absolutely terrifying. My guess is that if churches had their way, we would be doing the same thing that we have been doing for decades. But God is calling us into uncomfortable places. Now, more likely than not, a Burmese family is not going to show up next Sunday and sit down in your pews. Your story is going to look a lot different than that of Tabernacles. But if you're willing to step out into these uncomfortable spaces where God is at work, God will transform this place and this community. Now, hear me say this. I know that change is hard. Nobody likes change, even good change. Change is hard. But following the call of God is why we're here, right? It's why we're sitting here today. That's why at 10:30 on a Sunday, beautiful Sunday, we came and sat in these pews to follow the call of God. And if we're brave enough to listen, Moseley, Virginia will never, ever be the same. The same God who called the forerunners of this church over 150 years ago is the same God who is calling and speaking to you today. The same God who was faithful to the first people who walked through these doors is faithful to the people who will lead through those doors today. So go following the call of God in your lives and in the lives of this community. Find rhythms of community life where you learn to hear God together, hearing those who are hurting in your community and moving forward towards what God is calling you to do, towards that next faithful step. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. God started something here over 150 years ago, and he's not done yet. Amen.